Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my good friend, Scott Ferrioli. Scott, it's good to see you today.
Nice to be on the show.
It's a morning recording. It's always one of my favorites. You know, I sit here, got my cup of coffee, waking up, talking to my buddies. It's a good time to be a podcaster, especially when you got good friends like Scott. So,
what a nice guy.
Okay, I'm buttering you up for something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly. So, you've undoubtedly listened before, so you've heard Scott's voice. Scott is the owner of buyandselldvc.com, dvc-rental, and his Facebook group. If you're ever thinking of either renting points, I figure we'll get this out there early. If you're thinking of renting points, or if you're thinking of buying, or if you have a contract and you're thinking of selling, or you're just curious about DVC, besides EdCat, where we touch base on this casually, join his Facebook group. It's Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC. And I would say join that Facebook group. Even if you don't want to learn anything about Disney Vacation Club, if you want to get the best pictures from Walt Disney World, from Disneyland, even from the beach resorts, Scott on his staff has got a great team, but on his staff, he's got Debbie Allen. Debbie seems to be at Walt Disney World frequently, but Debbie has this unique talent. Either people have it or they don't. She knows how to take fantastic pictures. So, right?
Yeah, she's very good, and she's a bit of a foodie too. So she shares a ton of food pictures, which honestly are by far the most engaged with photos of anything that we do. Everybody loves to talk about the food and comment on the food. And she's at the moment of this recording, she's actually in Disneyland as we speak.
So I sent her a message. I had a show about a month ago, and I needed a picture for that show. And of course, Debbie has a picture, right? So I sent her a message saying, Debbie, I'm sorry, can I borrow your picture for the show? I'll give you full credit. And she like responded within like 8 seconds, like, oh my God, of course. And I was like, okay, I promise I won't do it. She's like, relax, you know, it's all good. So she's a sweetheart. Your entire team is a good bunch of workers and a good bunch of people, between Jason as the broker, between Cassandra, between Ty, between Ashley, yourself, Shannon, Debbie. I mean, you got a great team there. So again, Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC is the Facebook group. Please join. So I figured we'd knock that out early before I forget that, because I've often gotten choked up on those words as I'm trying to spit them out later on. So
no, that's perfect.
All right. So I think what we should do is talk about just Disney Vacation Club and the state of DVC in general. We can talk about some of the news that's hit recently, which is pretty interesting as far as the water parks. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can talk about the cruise swap program that you have. And then I put you on a mission, and this is kind of a teaser for the show. So very, very frequently, I rent out my points, and of course, I rent them through DVC-Rental. I rent them through Scott's company. And so I wondered, you know, am I doing this the correct way? So I put Scott on a mission to brainstorm on the top five Disney Vacation Club resorts to own if you wanted to rent out your points. And at first glance, you might think, well, you're just going to pick the top five resorts as far as like hard to get accommodations for the 11-month window, right? Maybe the Poly, maybe Wilderness Lodge, maybe something like that, right? Maybe the Beach Club.
Stop naming resorts. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Or do you think, you know what, maybe Saratoga is really high on that list because of the sheer value for points. And as you turn that around, maybe the world of renting points has changed at this point. Maybe a fixed accommodation that's already been reserved is the better way to go. So really, you have to think about this in multiple fronts. So I figured let's just go right to the source there. So you've got five resorts picked out for, yes, in terms of rental. So
yep.
First things first, so let's talk about the state of DVC right now. Is DVC, if you're an owner or if you are want to be an owner, is it a good time to be a buyer, a good time to be a seller? What's going on with the world of Disney Vacation Club?
Right now, it is a fantastic time to be a buyer. Market's been a little bit slow. We keep an eye on and monitor like all the other resale companies. And right now, it seems to be pretty slow for everybody. Jason pointed out to me, there was a contract on one of our competitors a couple of weeks ago. It was like a Vero Beach contract, and it was listed for under $40 a point. I believe it was $35 a point.
Holy cow.
And it sat there for over a month. I mean, and there's a chance Disney, you know, could possibly have bought it back. But, you know, most contracts for Vero Beach typically sell in the $60 per point range.
60s, yes.
Yeah, 60s. This was listed insanely low, and it just sat there. Jason, you know, I get weekly updates. Hey, Scott, it's still there. The Vero Beach is still there, and I absolutely couldn't believe it. But it's definitely been a little bit slower. So if you're thinking of buying, you have a lot more buying power than usual at this point.
Okay. Well, so
you can negotiate, what we have it listed at, you come in under that and, hopefully you can come up to some sort of agreement with our seller. But yeah, it's a fantastic time to buy.
So I guess let's just put a pin in that and move it to the side. By the way, $35 a point. That's insane. That's an insane number. I was going to say that's like $60 to $62. I track them too as well,
Yep.
So, okay. So the brief explanation here, Disney Vacation Club is Disney's version of a timeshare, right? So we should probably say this just in case anyone's not listened before. It's Disney's version of the timeshare. You Google or you YouTube the word like timeshare purchases, and you're going to see a ton of things that pop. It's been like nightmare. Don't ever buy timeshare. Timeshares are terrible, right?
That's what I was going to say. It's like you said it absolutely perfectly. But the word timeshare has such like a bad connotation to it that I hate even saying it. But I mean, it's Disney's version of a timeshare. But I know I cut you off, but just I cringe almost when I hear it myself because I'm like, oh, I wish there was another term we could use for it.
You're right, because there is a negative connotation. A lot of times, if you buy timeshares through I think it's Blue Green or Evergreen or Marriott or whatever,
Blue Green's
essentially. Essentially, what happens is you buy in and they lock you into these fees and these assessments, and you're paying these monthly fees. And sometimes it doesn't even expire when you expire. Sometimes it gets passed down. At the end of the contracts, people are looking just to – well, there is no end. They're just looking to get out of them. So whatever they've invested, they're on eBay for free.
Yep.
For one penny, please take over my dues. Just let me out of this stupid thing at this point, right?
Well, a lot of them will be listed for a penny, and then they'll state in there that we will pay this year's dues just for you to take it away. So they actually have to pay to get rid of it.
Okay, so what makes Disney a little different in this timeshare market is Disney has a resale market that's been established through Scott's company, through a variety of companies. There is an active resale market. And that value is held up because Disney has maintained their property and offers good, clean, consistent accommodations. But there's also a point rental market as well, too. So there's something to do with these properties that is a worldwide market. I've got 160 points at Saratoga. That's what I have left. And I haven't made it back to Saratoga in 2 or 3 years. What do I do? Oh, my gosh, I'm going to get beaten up because I'm going to let these points expire. And I've got all this money invested in, and I'm paying annual dues, but I can rent these points out. So there is a ebb and flow, but there is a resale market and a point rental option that keeps this market relatively stable. But like everything right now, the economy is jacked with everything. If it's not discretionary spending, if it's not money, that's why I asked you about that. If Disney Vacation Club was hurt like everything else, because inflation has just squashed everybody. So if you've always debated buying it, $35 a point, that's a great deal. That's a great deal, right? So think Absolutely. About that. Okay. Describe though, like when you said, let's negotiate. So let's just say, for example, I listed my contract with you. I have 160 points over at Saratoga. And I said, Scott, I want to get $105 per point for my contract for Saratoga. And let's say I was also a buyer and I said, $105, what would be a reasonable amount that a person could come in at? Because you could come in and say, I'm going to offer you $60, which I'm not even going to go and entertain that offer. But what is a reasonable amount that usually if you're looking at negotiation? So just to paint a picture for people that might be interested in this.
Okay. Good question. We do get people who will come in and say $60 a point, and we present every offer, but it's nobody's selling their Saratogas for $60 a point right now.
Yeah.
But if it was listed for 105, say I was buying it, as a regular buyer, I'd probably sit there and say, okay, why don't I come in at around maybe 90? I'd say or low. Let me say even upper 80s right now because I know that the market is a little softer. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably come in on upper 80s, we just sold one the other day that was very low 90s. So, maybe you come in the mid 80s knowing that there's going to be some sort of negotiation and you hope to close in the low 90 range. Low
gotcha.
To mid 90. Again, a lot of it also depends on how many points are on the contract, if it's got extra points or if it's stripped or not. Meaning that if it has, last year's points banked over into this year, or if they happen to use last year's points and maybe even some of this year's points, it's going to sell for less because it's less valuable. But figure probably somewhere in the low to mid 90s at the moment is where we're closing at.
Okay. So we're looking at like a 12, 11, 10% off essentially is a good ballpark idea for where to come in at an offer. Okay. But then there are some, depending on your status and your life changes, where all of a sudden you're selling your Vero Beach contract for what would be amounted to 50% off the usual price, you know, or close, you know, close to it. So, okay, interesting. So again, if you've debated on that, it might be a good time. And there are options to go and get that money back, even if you're not going to use your trip, which is, and you have things to talk about too later on, like a cruise swap, but okay, interesting.
Actually, now that we're talking about this, just give me 1 second, because I just thought in my head that contract that was selling for $35 a point, we pay $18 a point for the rental. So you rent that for essentially 2 years, you've made your money back. And I know there's maintenance fees and everything, but I go, you know, 2 years worth of rentals, it's now almost a free contract to go, you know, that you just received. Right. So I mean, that was such a crazy deal, and with where the market is, I mean, again, now is a fantastic time. Again, this is not like, you know, fluff for anybody. You know, this is, we try to be honest about everything. I mean, this is a great time for buyers.
Yeah. So explain that process. So you got a Vero Beach contract. You texted me and said, hey, Chris, I've got a really cool contract. Are you interested in a Vero Beach contract? Yes, I am. I'll buy it. So it cost me, I don't know, $7,000 to purchase this contract. I then turn the contract around to you guys and I say, hey, Scott, I've got this great Vero Beach contract and I rent it through you. You then take the contract, you make either a reservation or you rent the points out, and you'll pay me $18 a point. The person who's going to rent these points can now rent at Vero Beach and get a better accommodation at cheaper than what Vero Beach would offer public to stay at Vero Beach.
And so instead of just Vero Beach, all the Disney resorts as well. And
you know, there you go. Okay. So It works on all the fronts. It just, you know, for whatever reason, that family needed to liquidate that contract quickly. It could be a divorce. It could be college. It could be a car payment. They just needed to liquidate. Yeah. And so that is kind of like the weird spongy ebb and flow of Disney Vacation Club. And there are opportunities to purchase at a really good value. So am I a supporter of this? Am I pro Disney Vacation Club? If you have the funds, yes. I've always said that Disney Vacation Club has to be something, though, that you clearly have a path for repayment or can pay upfront at the start, or have like funds set aside in your mind of how to repay this, as opposed to saying, yeah, I've always wanted to do that. Let me spend $37,000 and I'm going to need to finance $36,000 of those dollars. I've always thought if you can afford that, it does make a good investment, let alone the opportunity to spend with your family at really nice accommodations at Walt Disney World. So there, I'll get off my soapbox. So
I'll throw this out there. I was selling a contract for somebody the other day. I don't know where they got the financing for it, but she sent us like the printout of like what she had to get for the contract. And I saw that it was at 25% financing.
Oh my gosh.
On a $50,000 loan.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The economist to me is crying on the inside. Oh my gosh, what did you do?
Yeah. So be aware that was those, a realtor.
She was a realtor.
No.
Yes. I mean, she was a realtor. She should have known all about this. I mean, you figured she would be like the most knowledgeable about interest rates and stuff, but yeah, she had a 25% loan on a $50,000 contract.
So imagine your worst credit card interest rate ever on the worst credit card interest that you have in your wallet, and then stack up $50,000 in charges on that. So that wouldn't be good financing right there. So don't do that. Anyways,
yeah, please don't.
All right. So let's talk at this point then, before we get to the news, let's talk about this cruise swap program that you have. How do I go and obtain a cool Disney cruise with my Disney Vacation Club points?
On our website, we do have a button. You know, we're dvc-rental.com, and there's a button for cruise swap. So you just click on the button, and essentially to use your points for a Disney cruise is typically a terrible waste of points. And Disney charges way, way too many points for the value of the cruise. So you normally make if you rent out your points, if you rent out the equivalent amount of points that Disney would, you know, charge, and you'll have several thousand dollars left over, or if you rent out less points to have, you know, the money for the cruise. The one another thing that benefits you is that if we book the cruise for you on the cruise swap, essentially you give us your points, we rent them out for you. Instead of taking that money and paying you with it, we can book it as a Disney travel agent for you, the cruise, and then take the money that was, you know, for the reservation and apply it directly to your cruise. That way we don't have to 1099 you at the end of the following year. So there's also some tax benefits to it as well if you do the cruise swap. And what's also good is it offers extra flexibility because with Disney, if you use your points, you have to use Disney Cruise Line. As we're a travel agent, we could take that money and we could put it towards Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, Carnival, any of the cruise lines for you. And the same exact tax benefits as well. And you're not locked into a Disney cruise. So there's definitely some nice things to have with the Disney cruise swaps.
Gotcha. So I don't think people realize you were also a travel agent as well as a Disney Vacation Club resale. So
yeah, I don't mention it too much, but yes, we are a licensed travel agent as well.
Scott's also an ice cream man. He's also a pizza maker. He's also a personal trainer. He's got a lot of hats. Okay. So the tax benefit is a big benefit to that because sometimes those point rentals at the end of the year, you're seeing your 1099, you're like, oh, I forgot that. Shoot. I have to go and declare that as income now. And
yeah, every time you make money, the IRS wants, a portion of it. But if we're able to reapply it right away, we haven't paid you a dime. So it works out well.
Understood. Okay. So essentially the cruise swap is you're just going to rent the points like you would if I were going to get paid, but you hold the money and apply that money towards any cruise line as a travel agent. Okay. Yep. Really cool. Let's talk about DVC news. There's been some news in the world and it made me furrow my eyebrow and also made me say, hey, that's a pretty good option. So let's talk about things. What's going on?
The main thing that Disney just announced is that starting in 2025, if you book a Disney vacation, including a DVC rental, the first night of your stay, you're able to use it at, you're able to go to the water parks for free, one of the Disney water parks for free, which again, it's a very nice perk. I wish it was more than just the first night because there's a lot of people now who are going to be upset because they're getting in late or it really works well. If you haven't getting in that morning and you don't have anything to do, it's wonderful. But it's for anybody who's coming in the afternoon or later, it's maybe not the greatest perk, but the fact that they extended it to Disney Vacation Club, stays as well was really, really nice. Cause you figure Disney a lot of times pushes their own main product, their own booking the rooms with Disney, not doing extra stuff for Disney Vacation Club owners even. So the fact that it will apply to DVC reservations was a surprise and a very nice perk that we get to pass on to our renters as well.
And these perks are not guaranteed. So this could go away as quickly as it showed up. So just bear in mind that, right?
Yeah, they announced that who knows when they could pull it 2 weeks later if it's not doing well. Nobody knows what Disney's going to do. But as of now, that's what they said is going to happen next year.
Meanwhile, there's been a huge amount of bookings increased in Southwest Airlines and Spirit for AM flights to Walt Disney World and like the afternoon flights. Scott, just thinking of how to manipulate this, and that's a bad word. Does that apply? Let's say you booked a bunch of split stays. Let's say you booked a bunch of one-night accommodations. No, or is it just a first night, no matter how many resorts you stay at?
I saw online that somebody had asked about that exact situation, and it seems that because it's going to be a different reservation, in theory, right now, you should be able to do it for multiple times throughout your stay. So if you have a 10-night stay and you book three different rooms, have three different reservations, the first day of those reservations, in theory, you should have a free trip to the water parks. So you have three water park days in there.
See how my villainous mind works? I'm thinking of possible ways to go get extra opportunity at the water parks. So that's a really big benefit. And what was Disney's purpose in doing that? What can you surmise for that? Because it's, I know those water parks are largely underutilized. They only have one operation at a time, but why would they do that?
I think a lot of it is probably, I don't want to say, back a better word, damage control possibly. I know there's a lot of people who are upset that sometimes it takes so long to get into their rooms. Maybe this way, because a lot of people don't want to waste a ticket on the first day. Because they figure I'm going to be traveling, I'll get in at 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to buy a ticket for that day. I'd rather save the money. So instead of the people sitting in the lobby being upset that their room's not ready till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now they go, hey, go to the water park for free. It's on us. So I think maybe just a little goodwill. Plus also, you're getting people in there. They're going to be doing the concession stands and they're going to be hopefully spending their money buying some merchandise, buying some mugs. So I think it's a way to make a little bit extra money, but also kind of protect themselves and say, or if anybody complains about anything, be like, hey, anytime anybody complains, they can just say, hey, you know, we gave you a free park day. You can go do whatever you want. Don't sit here in the lobby. Don't complain to us. Go to the water park on us and enjoy.
Okay. I'm buying all that. I'm really buying the concession part and the food part and the merchandise part, because let's be honest, they're going to pay for staffing, right? You're paying for lifeguards. You're paying for gate agents. You're paying for maintenance.
They're there anyway. So it's not really like they have to bring anybody else in to do it. You know,
guys,
you know, running each ride, there's probably not much extra, maybe an extra two custodians or something you may need to bring in if there's extra, you know, wrappers on the ground. But I mean, it shouldn't be too much. They've got to pay exactly. They have to pay the bare minimum to have the park, you know, up and running. So more people that get in there, it doesn't really, it's no skin off of their teeth.
Correct. And that wave pool is going to throw waves at the shore there, whether it's 50 people or 500 people. So yep. To them, it means nothing, but you're right. There's a concession. There's got to be a marketing bent or a monetary bent to this for Disney's purposes. But as far as the consumer goes, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I haven't gone to the water parks in a while, and I said that I would absolutely consider going, especially being a local. A lot of times I only come in for one night, you know, free water park stay. I'll take advantage of that. You know, I've got my regular annual passes that don't include the water park. So if I'm going to stay one night or two nights somewhere, I'm definitely going to take advantage of that. I'd love to check out the water parks again.
So as a local, you guys or anybody that has Disney Vacation Club in their bag of tricks, you could book a one night at a value accommodation at a Boardwalk or an Animal Kingdom for 10 points for your family of four. And that 10 point accommodation could get you into the water park. Yeah. Or you could rent 10 points, book your one night of accommodation, and get four water park passes out of that. Essentially,
yep, the rooms essentially be paying for the pay for the tickets, and the room is for free at that point.
I love it. I love how Disney math works. You know, so okay, interesting. That's a great perk, though. I do like that since it's already a fixed cost. You know, so wonderful. Any other news as far as Disney Vacation Club goes? Are there any construction balloons floating in the air right now, or any rumors on the horizon right now?
Well, you've got the Fort Wilderness cabins that are currently being worked on, the new DVC cabins. They've started booking already for those. We haven't rented too many of them just yet, but they are now live. So you can book the new Disney cabins. They're all going to be one bedrooms.
Okay.
And they look really, really cool. They announced the buy-in price and the maintenance fees. I think that they're charging way too much, and their maintenance fees are really, really high on them. So that's dissuaded a lot of people to purchase them. However, you know, staying in them for one bedroom, I think they start at like 15 points a night or something like that. So it's a really, really good deal. So I definitely am looking forward to checking them out.
They also have a new unique thing that other resorts don't offer.
The dogs. Yeah, the pet friendly. Yeah, yeah. Some of the rooms and areas are going to be pet friendly. There's going to be a fee of, I believe it's $35 per night. I think I'd read $25 originally, and then I saw an update that I think maybe it's $35 per night. But you can bring your animals with you. So that's – I'm sure it'll make a ton of people happy. It doesn't really affect me, but I'm sure a lot of people, even the Maliks, might come down and bring their puppers with them and go hang out in the wilderness.
Well, that's a tough thing as a pet owner. So everyone who's listening right now that looks around and sees their pooch on the ground there and – says the only problem when that happens, and I got three upstairs, I got three dogs, and I've had as many as five. So is when you go to Walt Disney World, you tend to leave that place at about 8:30. You go to the parks, and sometimes those park days, sometimes you don't want to come back. So again, time is money. You can't leave your dog for that long, or you're going to have a mess. You're going to have a nightmare when you come back home. So you kind of have to go and rethink your vacation plans or your park day plans when you have a dog that's staying, you know. So just throwing that out there. I'm sure there are owners that would be like, yeah, my dog can make 12 hours, but sir, you couldn't make 12 hours. So I don't know if it's fair that you let the dog go 12 hours, but there you go. So anyways, all right. Any other rumors though? You know, I love hearing things about new construction.
Chris is leading me here. Polynesian still being worked on. What are you trying to get me to say?
I'm not trying to get you to say anything, but you know, I do like the thought of, you know, they had construction balloons over, you know, over by Fort Wilderness, and, you know, where River Country was at, and they took that away. I just didn't know if there's anything you heard through the grapevine, since you're better connected than I am.
I don't think so. I mean, they're still, you know, finishing up the Polynesian Towers, and hopefully those will be very, very nice. They're not near done yet, but they're almost there. I believe that's it at the moment. I don't know. Okay. I've had my parents staying with me for the last 8 nights, so I have not been on the interwebs as much. So something huge could have happened, and I missed it because I was, you know, dealing with parental stuff.
That's no problem. We go to you for all for our resource for Disney Vacation Club. So if you don't know it, then it probably hasn't happened. Outside of having that Facebook outage the other day where big news could have hit, no one would have known at this point.
I missed all the big news.
Yeah. And let's just get that out of your brain here about the Polynesian Tower. It should be very nice. You know, when we drive by Coronado, and I remember the fervor and the outrage about this Coronado Tower. It's going to be terrible. And when you drive by right now, it's a jaw dropper. It is fantastic, right? So this Poly Tower is going to be fantastic. I know it will be.
I'm sure it probably will be.
All right. Let's move on to the heart of the show here. So again, I task you with listing the top 5 resorts. If I wanted to just simply buy it, you know, for example, like this Vero Beach contract, just to rent it through you as a source of rental income. And people are like, I didn't know you can do that. You can do that. You can buy a contract just for the source of, now when you buy it, they go through the process. If you're buying it, you know, retail, and they say, well, you have to go and stay in it every so often to go and make sure. But people do that and people rent it, but you can buy it as a source of rental income. But would you buy just the best contract you can get your hands on? Would you buy it at the best accommodation, or would you buy the best value? So that's why we got the guy in right now. So you want to go and order, Scott, from your, I don't want to say your worst, but 5 through 1. Is that okay?
Sure. I didn't have them in a specific order, but I will list them along the ways as I go here.
Okay. By all means.
All right, so for the top 5, starting at number 5, coming down, I have Polynesian on the list. It has a later expiration of 2066. The prices have come down a bit, so you're looking at the low 150, high 140s range, and you've got a higher demand for the resort. There's always people who are looking for Polynesian points, so that will help it rent faster as well. So later expiration, still a little bit higher on the prices, not terrible. And also higher demand, so they'll rent quicker.
Can you make Polynesian? So one of the trends recently is to actually book a stay and then rent that fixed stay out. Have you had luck booking a lot of Polynesian accommodations, or is it one of the harder ones to get at the 7-month mark?
It's Polynesian's typically not super hard at 7 months out. We've been renting a lot of the reservations though, and we've been renting them more than 7 months in advance as well. Mm-hmm. But Polynesian, I think, because it's a somewhat larger resort. I think that a lot of times it's at the 7-month window, 6-month window, sometimes Polynesian is still there. Gotcha. So you can get it less than 7 months.
Being one of the original resorts and being a nostalgic resort still, even though it's been refurbished many times, it looks fantastic, looks brand new. Being a nostalgic resort, it literally ties into people's childhoods. They remember saying, oh, my family used to come here with my dad with the station wagon with the Ford Rambler out in the parking lot. So people remember this. So that's why the demand is still there. I'm not sure it's there for the cabins because that's so pricey, but yeah. The chance to stay at the Poly has this mystique about it that some of the other resorts just don't have just as of yet.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Number 4.
Number 4. And I put this one on here. I tried to mix it up a little bit in here. I didn't want to make it all 100% value. I included Beach Club on here, which has it's a tough one because it has an earlier expiration but the points sell almost immediately. Mm-hmm. There's always people looking for Beach Club. You know, we could book a Beach Club reservation, you know, 10 months out and list it for sale and probably have it sold, you know, that day. I mean, the Beach Club, because it's such a small resort, has such a great pool, typically sells very, very fast. By far, you know, if I listed one reservation for each resort for the same exact dates, I mean, the Beach Club would be the first one to sell. Like, it's very, very high in demand still. It's not as expensive as Polynesian point-wise. And it's got fantastic location to, you know, Epcot and Hollywood Studios. So Beach Club is always, it's always an easy sell. And I haven't I have an honorable mention I'll put in there for later, I guess. But as we're talking about, I'm like, maybe I should have removed Beach Club from this list and put in this one, just because it's with the early expiration, it's not one I personally would want to buy just for renting out. But it's a great one to own just because it will sell almost immediately.
Okay, when you say early expiration too, we'll do just a little asterisk right here. Explain expiration from something like the Riviera compared to Beach Club for people.
Well, Beach Club, because it's one of the original resorts, has all the contracts expire in 2042. Riviera, I'm actually forgetting, I think it's 2068 or 2070. As like Yopali's 2066, maybe Riviera's 2070.
Okay.
Not 100% sure, but I mean, essentially, you know, you get an extra 28 years of owning that contract by purchasing at Riviera. So it's at the point I own Boardwalk's one of my favorite resorts. You know that. And I own points at Boardwalk. But at this point, it's tough for me personally to pull the trigger on buying a 2042 expiration, knowing that I can very easily buy another contract for the same price or so that lasts for another 20 plus years.
So that's funky Disney math right there. You've got contracts that expire in 19 years that have the exact same cost as contracts that expire in 46 years. But the demand for places like the Beach Club and the Boardwalk is so strong because of the location. Yes. There's also a belief that you'll be allowed to purchase an addendum like they did at the old Key West Resort, where you can purchase an additional 15 years because the resort's maintained, but nothing's guaranteed at this point. But that is weird, funky Disney math, right? You've got very few places like that, on Disney property. The Beach Club has a very low amount of rooms to rent out with a premier location, with a very early expiration, with a very high it seems to be just at odds with each other.
Absolutely. It's one of the toughest resorts to figure out, because the sale price on Beach Club is still so really, really high considering it's got 2042 expiration, because people just love Beach Club that much that it holds its value.
Is it the rarity of it? Is it the rarity of getting a reservation, Scott, that makes people want to buy Beach Club? Because let's talk. I mean, the rooms aren't big, right? They went through a refurbishment. They've gone through a few, but the rooms aren't huge. And like the quick service is literally tied into the gift shop. And if you're tying in the restaurants over at the Boardwalk, you've got some, but that's a hike. Or you've got, Ale and Compass, and you've got Yachtsman, but you've got Beaches and Cream. But it's not like there's a whole lot of stuff other than the pool. I've kind of always wondered why. What is the reason for this?
I don't really know. I'm not a huge fan of Beach Club. I Boardwalk and Beach Club are right next to each other. And I think if you ask most, maybe it is just because it's so hard to get. I think if you ask most people, they'd be like, oh yeah, Beach Club, Beach Club's, that's the special one. I'll choose Boardwalk every day of the week over Beach Club personally.
Okay.
I like the location a little bit better. I like the rooms a little bit better. It seems like it's in better condition. But otherwise, they're very similar. And the main thing, because the whole hashtag thrifty thing, I love Boardwalk because it has the standard view options. You can pay for a nicer view, a Boardwalk view, or preferred view, or they have a standard view option, which many of the standard views, you can even still have a view of the Epcot fireworks at night for, 33% less than the regular room. So I love that it has more choices at Boardwalk than Beach Club.
But for this perspective, the Beach Club is, if you owned up 1,000 points at Beach Club every year, you would literally rent out clean, easy peasy, 1,000 points, no problem, because everyone wants to stay at Beach Club for this purpose of the exercise. Okay. Absolutely. Number three,
because these were not in any specific order, is Bay Lake Tower.
Okay.
Prices have dropped recently to the $130 range, which is really, really good for Bay Lake Tower. It has lower maintenance fees of only $7.59 per point. And a lot of times it is still required to have more than 7 months out. So we do get a lot of requests in that still want Bay Lake Tower more than 7 months out. So it will rent faster than a lot of other resorts. Not as fast as Beach Club, but it's still in demand. So your points are not going to sit around for a long time. Lower buy-in price now, somewhat lower, and the maintenance and lower maintenance fees make it. And a later expiration still. It's well past those 2042 expirations. So it still makes Bay Lake Tower a very good deal. And there's demand, walking distance to Magic Kingdom on the monorail. I mean, people want to stay at Bay Lake Tower.
Yeah, that has to be it. It has to be location because it certainly isn't the amenities because it's shared by the Contemporary Tower. You need to take the Sky Bridge over to the Contemporary Tower to get your quick service or your fine dining or your store. But it's a location. That location's hard to beat, especially if you want to stay and visit the Magic Kingdom, which is, it's the majority of people's perception when they go to Walt Disney World, where they end up is Magic Kingdom.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Number two.
Number two. Now, how do I switch these? Oh, gosh, this is such a tough one. I'm switching it up. Number two, it was my absolute best bang for the buck for the last 20 years and where I own the majority of my points, which is Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
Low buy-in pricing, and typically you're in the mid to upper 90s right now. Later expiration at 2054. And maintenance fees are one of the least expensive out of any of the Walt Disney World resorts as well. Now, I bought my first contract for Saratoga Springs, and then I'd say probably 4 years later, I bought my second contract, and I went right back to Saratoga Springs again just because it's just such a good bang for the buck. And in all honesty, I've only stayed at Saratoga Springs twice in the last 16 years plus of being an owner. So not my overall favorite resort. There's nothing wrong with it. A lot of people love Saratoga Springs, but there's just other resorts I like more. But I have used my Saratoga points to stay everywhere, except for Alani, because I haven't stayed at Alani yet.
Gotcha. So the Saratoga is merely a purchase and hold to reapply to a different resort, correct?
That's how I've worked it. I know that's how probably a lot of other people have as well. It's a great resort to buy into. It's absolutely fantastic, but just I've used it for everywhere else. And it's where if you're flexible, I mean, this is a great resort to own. Or if you're renting, we don't get a lot of people who want Saratoga Springs more than 7 months out. But this is a wonderful one that, you know, to book those confirmed reservations with, to sit there and say, I've got 300 Saratoga Springs points that I need to rent out. I got them at an amazing deal. And, you know, either you could do it or we could do it. We can go in and book some confirmed reservations. It'll go on the DVC site, search to see what's available less than 7 months out. Try to find one of those more desired resorts and then use those Saratoga points to lock in the more desired resort. And then we list that resort for rent for you on our site.
Okay. So your first three were accommodation based. This one is value based, which is interesting. So I like that. I like that a lot, especially because I'm an owner of Saratoga, but you know, I wanted to ask you a question here. So based on the Saratoga Springs contract, when I first bought it in 2011, I could make reservations 7 months out at a lot of resorts. I had options and I always felt like I could convert that over pretty quickly. And then pre-pandemic, even slightly post-pandemic, I looked at the 7 month mark and I was like, dang, there's nothing left. I got to go back to Saratoga. Is that still the case for Disney Vacation Club right now? Or at the 7 month mark, do you have options? Because it's swung both ways for the pendulum there. So where does that stand?
Well, I can tell you right now, there's a decent amount of availability for less than 7 months out. It was late last night. I was talking to a DVC member on chat on Facebook. And I was trying to explain the difference between like renting out her points versus, you know, booking a confirmed reservation. And I said, you know, look out, you know, just try to get something. Studios always are the most in demand. I'm seeing a lot of one bedrooms. And she's like, oh, I'm seeing a ton of, this is, you know, we're recording this in, you know, like mid-March. And, you know, she's like, I'm seeing a lot of Bay Lake Tower studios available for June. It's 3 months out, you know. Mm-hmm. She grabbed an Animal Kingdom, actually, and she originally booked a Savannah View Animal Kingdom for June as well. And it's all seen Bay Lake Tower too. So that's, you know, 3 months out, so three and a half months out. A good amount of availability still. Bay Lake Tower, Animal Kingdom. So again, studios, which are always the first ones to sell out. Savannah Views are available. You know, she said, oh, the Lake View is the only option left at Bay Lake Tower. And I'm like, that's a great option. Grab that. Because there's, as of this moment, June, July, I mean, 3-4 months out, tons of availability. You know, obviously your beach clubs and stuff are going to be gone, but there's a lot of really good options right now for summer months, which is very surprising.
Gotcha. And if you're a stalker, Facebook, if you're a stalker through, you know, Disney Vacation Club's website, you can find Beach Club. I've stayed at Beach Club. I don't own a Beach Club. How? I just happened to come across that for the right time period. And my wife's a teacher. So when did I go down there? It was either Christmas or summertime. You can find that reservation still. Now, it's kind of a unicorn, but it can happen. I've stayed at Grand Californian, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And how did I do that? I just looked and I just happened to come across the listing. So these things can happen. It's just a matter of finding the right time and the right opportunity. But I'm glad you said that, because there was a version of the world recently where it was like, hey, 7 months out, if it's not your home resort, you know, you're back at Saratoga or Old Key West or something like that, you know, which are not bad. I mean, I own there, but
especially 2021, everybody was coming down to Disney. Everybody was cooped up for a while, and 2021 was an insane year. Everybody's trying to book everything, and availability was a lot tougher in 2021 than it is right now.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, so Saratoga was number two. Number one, you switched them out at the last moment.
It's not that I really switched them out. I didn't have them in a specific order, but for years and years, I've said Saratoga Springs, best bang for the buck. You've got to go at Alani, Disney's Alani in Hawaii.
Interesting.
It has a super low buy-in price. You know, we're seeing Alani right now in the 90s, low 80s. It has a 2062 expiration. So you've got an extra, 8 years over Saratoga Springs. And sometimes it's even needed at the 11-month window. You know, a lot of times if you're coming down in the summer, Alani sells out more than 7 months out. So we do have people who are looking for Alani's. So it's such a good deal right now. And the maintenance fees is high at Alani, which is the big knock on it. But, I mean, it's got a low buy-in price and such a late expiration. I mean, it makes it a really, really good deal to own Alani right now.
Wow. I didn't think you'd go to Alani here. That's interesting. There's huge demand, or there's big demand for Alani. It doesn't enter my brain as an option, and I should think about that.
Not huge demand, but we do get in people who are looking for it more than 7 months out. So okay. it could rent that way, or, you know, you could, again, confirm reservations work really, really well. But I mean, it's just the prices just keep dropping and dropping at Alani, and with the later expiration, it's a pretty darn good deal. I mean, if you ever go to sell it, there is like extra taxes and stuff you have to pay. So which is still, again, not terrible, but it's just right now, you know, if you're looking for a pure like bang for the buck, how much am I going to pay? You know, I can all points you rent out for the same exact price. So it's not like if you own somewhere special, you get more or less. Or it's a resort that's not as in demand, you get less. You know, if we're booking confirmed reservations, they sell for the regular price. So, you know, Alani is a fantastic deal.
Okay. Is that tax? So I'm glad you said that. I was going to bring that up to you. I thought I remember that Hawaii initiates a tax, and I didn't remember if it was on the purchase or the sale of the contracts for Alani. Is it only on the sale when you get out of the contract, Scott?
Yes, it's on the sale of the contract.
Okay. Yeah, I know the state of Alani, a state of Hawaii, it puts a tax on that. But okay. Yep. Wow.
No,
go ahead, please.
I'm going to throw in one honorable mention, because I was at the last meeting, should I remove Beach Club to put in the old Key West with just the extended old Key West contracts that expire in 2057? Because, again, it's same price as the regular old Key West. The normal contracts expire in 2042, but they are newer ones that expire 2057. So one of those, because of the late expiration, low buy-in price, is a great option as well. But I have Beach Club in there just because, you know, that's one of the main ones that it's will sell immediately, and that people are interested in that. People, I think not everybody just wants just the best bang for the buck. I want to pepper some different things in there and some good ones to own for renting.
What's the frequency of having a 2057 Old Key West pop up on the resale market?
Relatively rare. I'd say probably, again, I'm ballparking here, maybe one out of every 10 old Key West contracts, maybe a little bit less, one out of 15 contracts. Gotcha. They do show up, and they do sell faster than the regular 2042 expirations, because there's not a big difference in the price out there.
Gotcha.
So personally, if you're thinking of buying old Key West, that's the resort you want to own at, I would wait to try to find one of those 2057 contracts, because you get an extra 15 years of ownership, and the price is not much more. And when you go to sell it, you know, as we get closer to that 2042, I have to imagine those original contracts prices are going to drop dramatically, and the 2057 will hold its value better.
So I was spoiled. The very first stay I ever had at Disney Vacation Club properties was at Old Key West. And I was spoiled because we rented a car, we parked in the parking lot, and we were literally like 30 feet from our door. So as I backed the car into the parking space and I unloaded it and walked into my, I was like, this is really nice. I love the accommodations. I love the feel. This is great. And I followed that stay up with Boardwalk. So if you park at Old Key West, you're spoiled. If you park at Boardwalk, I was swearing how far I had to walk every time I left the parking lot, up over the bridge, through the entrance, back up through the elevator, down the hallway. Oh my gosh. It felt like what did I just do to myself here by staying at Boardwalk? So yeah, there's one advantage that Old Key West has over anybody, even over Saratoga, where you park outside the building. You literally park outside your door at Old Key West. So remember that.
Yes, absolutely. Both Saratoga Springs and Old Key West park right outside your door. It's that condo style that they have.
Okay. Well, one last thing before we go here. So we've got two accommodation. I'm sorry. I guess you listed six. We've got two value-based and four accommodation-based or demand-based. So that's an interesting mix. And I wouldn't have thought that Old Honey would have been number one, but it's a good point because
I didn't think Old Honey was going to be number one when I created this list either.
Well, she's a unicorn, right? So, yeah. You know, Walt Disney World, you've got a bunch of options to stay. In Old Honey, you've got one option to stay if you want to stay in Disney property, right?
So, yeah. And okay. I'll throw in there. We mentioned Vero Beach earlier and how, you know, that $35 appointment was such a great deal. And I figured there could be people who don't know it as well, who are sitting there going, Scott mentioned $35 appointment. Why the heck wouldn't I buy at Vero with a 2042 expiration and maintenance fees at Vero Beach are really, really, really high. It can cut into your profit. So it's not one I would personally buy at with the thought of just renting out. If you want to stay at Vero Beach, it's a beautiful resort. Definitely buy in. It's a great deal. But to rent out, I wouldn't touch Vero Beach personally.
Why would the maintenance fees be high at Vero Beach, Scott?
I think a lot of it is there's a higher insurance because it's on the Atlantic Ocean. So you got to worry about hurricanes. They're constantly having to redo the sand and the dunes there to protect the resort. Because of the salt air, I think a lot of the doors have to be replaced. Like, there's a lot more maintenance that needs to be done just because the location itself kind of deteriorates a lot of the stuff on property. Like, they just redid their pool a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's completed, but they just did a whole refinish of the pool. Just, I think a lot of the salt air and the location just kind of damages stuff. So that's built into the maintenance fees of it.
One more thing before we go, and I've got a question for you. On this whole list, I kind of thought that the Grand Californian might pop up just due to rarity. I know now that you got the Disneyland Tower, you know, and whatnot as an option, but I figured Grand Californian might pop up on this list because
it's a great resort. It's expensive. It's so expensive for that buy-in price, though.
Well, give me an example. What does expensive mean?
Right now we have a couple of them really, really, cheap for, you know, resales prices. They have listed for $250 a point. Most other places, the resale has been like somewhere between $280 and $300 per point. Disney's no longer selling Grand Californian. So if you want to stay there, the only way you can get is on the resale market. And it's such a small resort and there's such a small amount of owners that it's increased the demand for the resort. So it's really expensive to buy into.
Gotcha. The demand for renting that resort, though, should you have a confirmed reservation, almost a guaranteed sale every time?
If you have Grand Californian points that you want to rent out, I would probably book, you know, a studio or two studios, whatever, and try to rent out Grand Californian rooms. You wouldn't want to use it for anywhere else. You don't want to take your Grand Californian points and, you know, end up doing a, you know, Grand Floridian stay on it. Gotcha. Take those Californian points. Somebody will want it. Or again, hopefully somebody who comes in. The confirmed reservations have been really, really hot recently. So normally I would say, you know, hold on to your points. Somebody will want a Grand Californian stay. But I think if by booking a room and us advertising it and pushing it in front of people, it would sell faster. So a confirmed reservation for Grand California would be the way to go.
I remember when it hit 300 per point. And like, I had emojis as my face, like the head exploding emoji, but it's held pretty strong. And what is the expiration of Grand California?
I'm not even 100% sure, to be honest with you right now.
It's not 42 and it's not 54. I know that.
I think it's in the '60s. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna quickly try to check for you here.
Works in this room. Please do, because I know a friend of mine is actually going to stay there very shortly. A friend is
a lucky person.
Yeah, well, it's you. It's you and your family here very shortly. So,
it is 2060 on
the dot. Okay. So you're staying at the Grand California, and that's our segue to that. This is your first time at the Grand Cal or second?
Second time at Grand Californian.
Nice. So this is going to be a spring break type trip, Scott, for the family?
Yep, spring break for the trip with the family. Unfortunately, the Maleks, Murrays, and Ellicotts won't be there with us. However, we are looking forward to going.
Are you kidding me? So you're going to have a good time this time as opposed to not?
Last time we went with you guys, it was a blast, an absolute blast.
I'm completely jealous. So what is your itinerary? Do you have any confirmed reservations? Are you going?
You're not going to like this. We do not. We're kind of playing it by ear. Grand California, we were looking at a bunch of options. And I think you may try to do more. You know, last time we did one sit down every single day with you guys because we had the large group, and I think that worked really, really well. Mm-hmm. Normally when we do vacations, we typically do more quick service restaurants because, you know, hashtag thrifty. So right now we don't have anything planned. You know, maybe we'll book like a reservation or so, but like we've already listed a couple places that we want to go to. Like we want to go back to the Jazz Kitchen in downtown Disney. Definitely price one by Hungry Bear. And this, I want to go to Jolly Holiday, the bakery place. Like there's the places that we want to go, but we have not locked in anything.
Okay. Still completely jealous.
Absolutely. We'll get those nachos. You didn't get the nachos. You were gone by the time Jeremy and I went for the nachos. Mm-hmm. To build your own nachos at downtown Disney. But so all the food's planned up in my head right now, but we have not locked in anything, which could come back to bite me. We'll see.
Okay, so if you're listening today and you have any questions on the Grand Californian, on Aulani, on Old Key West, on Saratoga, these are all the resorts that Scott mentioned. Disney Vacation Club Resales, DVC, is the Facebook group. Okay, and if you wanted to go to his website, it would be DVC-rental or buyandselldvc.com, both sides, either the rental or the purchase side of that. And Scott's got a great team. So you've seen these names, Cassandra Callahan, Shannon, Jason, you've seen all the names of his staff members. You can ask them or reach out to Scott. You can find him on those sites or in Edcot. If you can't find Scott, get a hold of me. I'll make sure I get you in contact with Scott for any questions you might have. Any final thoughts, buddy, before we go for today?
Not much else that I can really think of. Again, if you plan on buying, now is definitely the time to go. Rental side's been relatively hot, and I've said this for years, is that Disney is essentially recession proof. People take their Disney vacations. They'll stop going to the movies. They'll cancel everything out, but they want to take their vacation at Disney every single year. So you still got the Disney diehards. So the rental side is still very, very strong, but the buying a contract, I mean, that's a luxury purchase. So, I mean, with inflation the way it is and the market the way it is right now, you know, if you've got expendable income, now is the time to possibly try to lock something in because you can get a really great deal. And if the plan is to rent it out, the rental side is still strong. And I have to imagine it will stay strong for a pretty long time because people want their Disney vacations.
Right. When you said those words, though, I cringe because I was watching a YouTube special on like Montgomery Ward's, the store, and Sears. And it was like how they were the biggest. And all of a sudden, it's like they would never fail. But then I'll leave you with this thought. If a global pandemic didn't slow down Walt Disney World, Disney property, if a global pandemic didn't do that, then a blip in the economy and a recession, it will have an effect, but not what you think it will be. You're right. They always want their Disney vacation.
Man, that scared the heck out of us, man.
I remember those days.
We said it's recession proof. Everybody's going, and there was like global pandemic. Who the heck predicted this crap? I'm like, really?
Maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, it was closed for like 2 months or so. Like there was no bookings that could be done, and that part stunk. But I mean, once Disney said, "Hey, just so you know, we're opening the doors," it came flooding in again. And I was like, "All right, thank goodness we're back. Everybody still wants to go to Disney."
Right.
So, yeah, it was killer.
All right. So reach out to me if you can't get a hold of Scott. If not, Ferrioli, Ferraioli. So we're good though. So we hope we entertain you today. And again, thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening. And again, always appreciate being on the show. So thank you very much, Chris.